is. And so when you put that context on it, it gets pretty heavy pretty quick, and reminds me so much every time I read it how I need him, because I am nothing but a failure, imperfect, incomplete. I'm unable to save myself, fully needing that life jacket that God gives us in his gospel. So let's start with 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have the faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in the evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always preserves. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the childish things. But we see him a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. On to Luke. Luke 18:31, the first portion of this, my Bible said it was Jesus shares with his disciples for the third time that he will suffer and die. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting on the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, "What's happening?" And they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "Why do you want me to do this for you?" Lord said, Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received the sight and followed Jesus, praising him. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Here ends the readings.
I'd like to invite children to come down. I need someone who likes being rude. So many volunteers. I need someone who likes yelling at people who are rude. Two over there. We got two. Come on up. You want to be the one who's rude too, or the ruder? You don't care. You ready to be rude? Okay. Cell phone. Light. Take that phone. Shine the light in your eyes as close as you can. Just hold it there. Say, "Open your eyes." Wiggle it back and forth. Open your eyes. Oh. There are rude people in the world. I have two of them right here. You didn't like that, huh? I want to show you something that we're going to learn in the sermon today. Hang on to that. Wiggle it off, and I'll let you wiggle it back on. Just don't drop it too much. I brought my Jesus glasses. I think I actually used to wear these at one time, please understand. Put on the Holy Spirit glasses here. You look cute in them. They're fine. You look a little bit 60s or whatever it is. So, all right. Now, shake it. A little bit, shake it harder. Oh, there you got it. You did it. What do you notice? As bad? Oh, I should have got the darker one. All right. Here's what I wanted you to learn. God wants to do for us like putting on the glasses, okay, so that the light doesn't hurt us the same way. When people are rude to us, which they're going to be, you can't get away from it. It's always around. I got two of them right in front row, right? I want you to watch something else now. You get to sit down. Here's the second part that I want you to remember. And I got, well, that's up here. Here's you, and this is how much you need. And when you got a sad day and people stick flashlights in your face, then they're so rude you need more strength, right? Now, I stuff it in there. And I go, oh, good thing I've got a bottle of water here. Because, Mom, they're so rude to me in church. They stick lights in my face. Oh, honey, I'm so sorry to hear about that. Dad, they stuck light in my face. They don't mean to me. I'm so sorry about that. And you look and you go, oh, wow. And then something happens and you need some love for more people. And so you look at this person who's very empty and they say, can you love me? And you go, I'll give you whatever love I have. There you go. That's all the love I got left for you. I needed it all. Some people stop right there. And my story doesn't stop there because this is the rest of the story. And that's represented here by God and the Holy Spirit. That was supposed to be red. It was at one time. You leave it in chlorinated water, I guess it changes. Now, I want you to watch. Can you all see that? I'll try and move to the side. This is what the Holy Spirit does for you. It pours into you, and it pours into you, and it pours into you, till all of the needs in your life are met. And then it overflows so that you can love even the nasty people around you. You see that? Now you understand what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Even though you need love, God has enough to give you even when you're hurting. Even if something else bad happens today and you soak up some more water, there's still plenty in there to give away to other people. Can you remember that? Good. Our topic today is God's love for you and your love for people around. And I want you to see if you can remember that. Because he will give you glasses or help you be able to put up even with mean people who stick bright lights in your face. Can you remember that? Good. That's my sermon for you. This is ladies first. Here we go, ladies. Move to the side. Hurry up. The lady's got 13 seconds, 12 seconds, 10. Don't worry, they'll wait, they'll wait, they'll wait, they'll wait, they'll wait, they'll wait. It's okay. There's plenty of you're welcome. Go quick. Go quick. Go quick. Just one today. I know it gets tough. so hard when you step on them. There you go. I thought the sunglasses would be dark enough. Anyway, got an interesting text today because it can be law and it can be gospel. It can be something you think you're going to be able to produce inside yourself. And it can be something you hold over other people's heads so you can use it as a weapon or a hammer. You don't love me the way you're supposed to. Take the hammer of High, chapter 13. Beat them with it, you no good Christian faker you. Okay? You can read this chapter and miss it totally. You can turn love into a law chapter. You better love like that or else. Right? Bear all things, hope all things, endure all things. And all of a sudden you're in the middle of that. And you begin to understand. You can use it as a definition, which is part of what it is. It tells you what real love is, and you can use it to belittle yourself and identify how much you really don't love people in your life. Bear all things, hope all things, endure all things, forgive, be kind, all the other things that go on there. No jealousy, no bitterness, no. You go, don't tell them you love them until you really learn how to love them or her or any of those kinds of things. So this is a chapter that kind of sits open-ended for the moment, and it can be used in multiples of ways, and sometimes it can get really negative. You can walk out of here feeling like, I don't know what to do with the chapter, because Pastor said, this is the way a man should love a woman, or this is the way a woman should love a man, or like I do with my high school kids, I'd say, if you don't love your mother like this, stop walking around thinking you love her. If you don't have the emotions, attitudes, and behaviors of this chapter, stop thinking you love some guy or girl. Or better yet, when I tell you the guy that just broke up with you, can you love him anyway because now he's your enemy? Can you love him with this kind of love because it's agape love? Then I teach him the three loves, body, soul, and spirit. Body love, eros. I love the way you touch me. I love looking at you. I love holding you. I love kissing you. They're all sensations to my body. They can be all kinds. I love pizza. I love candy. Right? That's eros. That's that love. Soul is your mind, will, and emotions. I can't think of anyone I like better being with than you. When I'm with you, I feel complete. I feel whole. You can hear my mind, will, and emotions coming together in phileo love. And you begin to understand. And the last one is spirit love. That means it has to be a work of the Holy Spirit. So don't go to the love chapter unless you're prepared to ask the Holy Spirit to give you this kind of love. Because it's not producible in the average human being by any means at all. You're not equipped to love with that kind of commitment. And so many times I go through chapter 13 and I say, let's just make this pure gospel. Well, how are we going to do that? Here's the good news. For God so loved the world. That's you. Well, what exactly do you mean? He's patient. He's kind. And all the rest of the things we just got done reading in chapter 13. And you begin to look at this and you go, wow. And you feel the love of God wash over you, which is what you're supposed to feel. Now, this chapter, however, isn't exactly about the love of God. It's not incorrect to use it that way, but it's really about how does Lamb of God get along with Lamb of God? How do you get along with your family? How much do you really love your wife or your husband? How much does this church love all the people that aren't in the church? What are we doing? And so you begin to understand this chapter is designed to teach a church how to work together. The context is spiritual gifts and not getting along in the Corinthian church. I will show you the most excellent way is the verse right before chapter 13. And the most excellent way, excuse me, I need a little love. In terms of what the Lord is offering to us, is you begin to recognize that this particular chapter is doing more than you and I realize. God is attempting to teach the Corinthian church, you're each different. Some of you like that. Some of you don't like that. Some of you aren't as tall, fat, smart, thin, as talented or gifted or whatever. You're not all going to be the same. But God expects you to agape each other. Even your giftings are different. Some can sing, some can't. Some thought they could sing and they can't. Okay? Some can play music, some can't. Some thought they could play music and can't. And it goes on and on and on. And there's 100 different reasons. Well, I'm sorry. Need more love. Try to back my intensity up. But what's happening in terms of this chapter is God is trying to identify for us, if you love one another the way I'm telling you in this chapter, then the church will be in harmony at a level you can't possibly understand otherwise. You ever try and solve a problem with anger and bitterness? Most of the time it doesn't work. Or solve a cough. Excuse me, apologize for it. Most of the time it doesn't work. And that's because the nature of anger is it is self-centered. You hurt me. You talk to me and you talk down to me. You think you're better than I am. Right? Where's your anger? Your anger is always stirred because you feel somebody has slighted you. Somebody has backstabbed you, undermined you, something. It's all about you. By its nature, anger is geared that way. Bitterness is geared that way. Unforgiveness is geared that way. You're full of self. You can't get through the love chapter and be full of self. It's not going to work. It's just a tickle, but I'm sorry. It's not going to work. And because it's not going to work, you're going to begin to understand it's going to frustrate you, disappoint you, make you angry in itself. So here I am, right, reciting the love chapter, and somebody looks at you and says, well, you don't love me that way. Then why don't you forgive me for what I did? Then why don't you walk away and let this go? Why are you treating me the way you are? And you begin to recognize what's happening at that point in chapter 13 is you go, I can have all the gifts in the world. I can be spiritually minded. I can be the pastor and be the biggest jerk in the church. You can be an elder and be the second biggest jerk in the church. And you can be on the board and be the third biggest jerk in the church. Why? Because you can't assume, because you're in one of those positions, that you're exercising your knowledge, understanding, wisdom, gifts, or anything else with the freedom of love. And that becomes the challenge for you. Do you really love? So here's Paul talking to a congregation he loves very much, and he's challenging them, inviting them, encouraging them to not only receive the love of God, but to exercise this kind of love toward one another. There's nothing wrong with loving pizza. Can't love it too much or too often, but there's nothing wrong with loving pizza. There's nothing wrong with loving your wife and appreciating, touching, holding, kissing, or anything else you want to pick. Nothing wrong with those kinds of love. And there's certainly nothing wrong with appreciating the soul of another human being. I love the way you think. I love the way you talk. I love being around you. I love the way you get excited at a sunrise or a sunset. I love that you like nature. I love that you enjoy good, whatever you want to say. It's perfectly good, but it's not the love God instilled for a marriage. It's not the one God invited men to experience. Because I used to like pizza like this. Now I don't like it that way. I like it like this. You understand? Phileo and Eros love is changeable. You know, when you were 22, you were gorgeous. You're pretty ugly now. Well, I wasn't talking to you personally. See how easy it is? You get offended by it personally. I was talking about me. But you begin to understand the reality of this section. God's going, do you understand? I want to grow you into something that expresses itself at a level the world can hardly comprehend. I want it to be so evident. See how they love one another. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Not biblical, but a fun campfire song. An awareness that love has a huge portion to deal with in our lives. And it's not something you can conjure up because you think you can fake people out. I can pretend to love you for quite a while. But I have to leave by 12:30 or I just start telling you off what I really think. Right? Or I can survive the church service, but we better go home fast because I didn't like what Pastor had to say today and I'm likely to give him a piece of my mind. Or her. Or him. Or did you see her gossiping the way she turned when I walked over by her? Right? We know what that's like. We've been around it. We've experienced the lack of love, the lack of mutual attention and affection and sensitivity that we really long for and desire. And at the same time, we measure ourselves against chapter 13 and we get smacked in the face with the reality of how really weak and shallow and inconsistent my love really is. Because the same man that turned you on when you were 22, the same one you just wanted to hold you, love you, kiss you, and everything else, can be the worst person in the world by 25 if he cheats or lies to you and you can't stand looking at him or touching him or having him or her touch you. That's how quickly those loves can shift. That's not agape. Agape doesn't permit me to operate on feelings. Oh, I'm so tired today. Honey, will you go shopping with me? I'm so tired today. I'm just going to base my love for you today on how I feel. Shopping sucks. I'm not going. Right? You begin to understand. Here it is, and God's operating with us going, I'm calling you to live at a totally different level. And you think I'm asking you to love each other more. I can't do that. Because, you know, I will pretend to love you more tomorrow, or I'll pretend to get over something today, but I have to actually do it in order for it to be agape. I can't fake it. I can't pretend. That's what's hard about this section. I will be fully known. It comes up to the end of the chapter. I will know fully. I'll be fully known. God, I can't fake God out. If I'm not going shopping because I really love her and because I'm doing what God is asking me to do, then God knows, and he's going to be going, your heart's not right. Faking it is a start, but it's not where you need to be. And so you begin to realize, why did Paul put this chapter right in the middle of a church that was struggling how to get along? Thank God I have this gift and you people don't. I have the gift of and you people don't. Thank God that I'm so much more mature spiritually than you are. It's too bad I have to hang with you. I'll try to pretend it's okay. Just don't rub off on me. You understand? We can get all kinds of attitudes, and then we disguise them. Oh, it's so good to see you today. You're looking really good for a change. And, you know, considering you're wearing, you should have your mask on. But otherwise, you know, and we get people like that, and that's the way we can really function if we're not careful. And God's going, I am calling you to live at a level you cannot comprehend, that you cannot fake, that must be produced by one focus point. Grow up in Jesus. If you're not growing up in the Lord Jesus, you got nothing to offer. Oh, you can be a nice person. You can make your marriage look wonderful. You can do all kinds of things. I don't want to diminish those in one sense at all. But if you're going to grow in this kind of love, it grows when a man or a woman draws closer to the Lord Jesus, because this love, this agape, is a byproduct or a fruit of the Spirit. It's a work of the Spirit God filling you up so much that you grab this bottle of water and he keeps filling and filling and filling. And when my husband disappoints me and I need more attention and I'm drying out with another Kleenex that I'm crying into. The Holy Spirit comes and he refills it again and again and again, and you keep in that continuous overflow. That is where you have to understand this love chapter exists. It doesn't exist because you want it to exist this way. It exists because the overflow of the power of the Holy Spirit is in your life. And he's giving you, hopefully, a darker pair of glasses, but a different pair of glasses so you can look at exactly the same rude person and see them with a totally different set of eyes. So that now their rudeness is tempered, adjusted by the Holy Spirit, who gives you a new set of eyes. I now look at the same selfish, rude person in church and I have a different heart for him or her. I even have a different heart toward myself. How many people are so hard on themselves because of how they look, how they act, how they think, what they can, what they can't do, how capable they are, how capable they aren't. Different things that can just put us in a funk that is really unbelievable. And God goes, I want you to exercise this kind of love. Are you ready? Even toward yourself. This is what I feel, how I respond to you, the Lord says. This is what I want to pour into you in such abundance that it will overflow out of you into the people around you. This is a beautiful section. I mean, we can spend plenty of time understanding this. The first part doesn't matter what gift you have. Doesn't matter if you're the preacher, the elder, the deacon, or anybody else. Doesn't matter who you are, all right? Whatever title they've given you, the people at work may like you, may be the biggest jerk at home. People at school may like you. You may still be the biggest jerk at home because you don't have real love, all right? And you go from there. It's patient. It's kind. It does not envy. It does not brag or boast. It's not arrogant and proud. It's not rude or self-seeking. It isn't easy to get it riled at all, okay? Hard to get it riled at all, okay? It keeps no record of wrongs. Those of you with good memories, good luck on that one. It goes on from there. It keeps no record of wrong. Loves does not delight in evil. Guess what? They won the lottery. They got $1 million last night. Oh, they don't deserve it compared to me. I keep entering, and the only thing I ever won was a toothbrush. And I hate brushing my teeth. All two of them. Are we capable of that? Yes, we are. What's going on? The answer is, can I be happy when you're rich or when you become famous or your family succeeds or your daughter marries the right way at the right time to the right man? Or am I going to just simply absorb anger, guilt, and bitterness and all the junk that can creep into our lives as we run through that perpetual comparison? Well, compared to so-and-so, my family sucks. Compared to so-and-so, my wife is not any good or my husband is terrible. How are we going to function as the body of Christ? And Christ calls him, get closer to me. Let me fill you up until all of your dryness, all of your hardness, all the things inside of you are inundated by my love. And then overflowing in my love, you can begin to agape your brothers and sisters in the fellowship. And you begin to recognize what Paul is trying to accomplish here. He's pointing it out as he goes on there, and he said, love is not going to fail. Agape doesn't fail. I just stopped loving him last night. Oh, that'd be a great song. I think it's I stopped loving her last night or something. I don't know what it is, some country song, I think. All right? Prophecies, they're going to see. Tongue's going to be still. A lot of people go, now? I go, no. It says when the perfect comes. When it's there, you're not going to need tongues. You're not going to need knowledge because God will be revealing things to you at a totally different way, and it'll be operating. You won't need prophecy anymore because it's fulfilled. You won't even need hope. You won't even need faith because God will be wrapping his arms around you. What are you going to hope for? I hope God wraps his arms around me someday. He is, okay? Well, I hope he doesn't hug me too much tighter because I can hardly breathe. But you understand. This is a statement of heaven and the condition. He's trying to teach you. Do you understand what it would be like to walk around other people who look different than you and have a different life than you and not be jealous or bitter or unforgiving? Do you understand that he has a desire to pour enough love into you that you're healed from the dried wounds of your life? All the things that have sucked love out of you. The times she said it, she would and she didn't. The times you thought it was going to go that way and it didn't go. God's calling us to operate in a love that only his Holy Spirit can generate within us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And you get done with that list of the fruits of the Spirit and you begin to understand gentleness, self-control, and all the rest. And you begin to go, oh, Lord, I need that in my life. Why? So I don't get angry easily. So I start functioning differently. When you notice you're bitter or jealous or you're worried about somebody else talking about you, you haven't got enough of the Lord in your life. God is, you ready? Agape. I'm not suggesting that this limits him, but I do want you to understand God is love. When God is fulfilling all of my life and in my life in every area, I begin to manifest these things. And he goes on, when I was a child, that means an infant that can't speak, okay? When I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. I understood candy. I could go running into the kitchen. I may not know what it is, but I could get something out there. I understood bye-bye. I understood 100 other things, but I thought like a child. I thought it just kept coming back in that candy box. I thought it just showed up there. I had no idea how it was getting there. I thought like a child, behaved like a child. When I grew up, and this is the challenge now, you can't walk around like infants. The challenge is God says, come and receive. I want to pour my Holy Spirit into you. I want you to operate at a level of love and mercy and forgiveness that you can read about here, and that one day they will look at you and say, my goodness, my mom was just like that. My dad, when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, was behaving just like that. I can do that in the power of God too. And he finishes it off. Now we shall see but a poor reflection in the mirror, the glass. But then we're going to see God face to face. I'll get it. That's why you wanted me to love this person. Yeah, I know he left you. I know he divorced you. I know he hated you. I know he found somebody else. You ready? What, are you crazy? God says, I'd like you to love him. He's your worst enemy. How do you want to go through this chapter? You want to work really hard to love somebody that you can't love? Or are you willing to say, Lord God, I don't love him right now, but I know you are capable of filling my heart to an overflow of love that I can't even love the person that broke my heart, that lied to me and has nothing to do with me even today. That's the miracle of the love chapter. It's God telling you, I am a pitcher filled with unlimited water pouring myself into your life. If you receive what I want to give you, I will wet every dry part, parched part of your emotions and feelings, and I'll fill you to a point where I need more love. I apologize. I will fill you to a point where you begin to experience an overflow. You know, when I get near Bruce, I just feel loved. We used to have an athletic director whose favorite word was tremendous. He'd walk up to you for no reason at all, shake your hand, go, you look tremendous today. And you know what's funny? He actually meant it. I mean, it was part of who he was. It's just the way he functioned. And then we would go around and go, well, that's Cliff Thompson. That's the way he is. You look great. And he noticed. And he commented. You played well. Or you did. And he kept track of what you did in his class. He kept track of who you were. He kept track of your chapel. He kept track of your child. And he would walk up, and when people got around him, he's like, I feel like I've just been lifted up. And I go, God's looking at you, the church, the body of Christ. He says, I am the pitcher. You can receive what you can't possibly comprehend. Let me fill you up today. because I love you like this chapter says, and nothing changes that, and it will not cease. It will go on. You only get a little bit of my love. You really don't understand how much I've loved you. Some of you think you've repented for your sins. God whispers at you and goes, wow. You want to go back to third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, the arrogant way you treated that girl who was 1 year younger than you, the mean things you said to the guy down the block, how bad mouth you mother, your mother, father, and all. You go, you want to really go through them all, or you want me to love you? I need you to love me, Lord. God says, good, let's go. If I've forgiven you this much, can you forgive this hateful, difficult person who broke your heart? Can you actually say it? Start it by saying, I forgive him. Let the Holy Spirit put it in there. Here it is. A dry Kleenex. I hate him. I can't love him. And God says, don't get too close to my love because I'm going to fill you up. And you think you can't love more? God whispers to you and says, you have no idea how big my picture is. You know, Bruce could not lift it. Bruce could not move it. Bruce could not do anything. And so here he is. He gets done with this chapter, and he says these things. Remain faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Why? It heals. Why? It forgives. Why? It gives as much to the person expressing it as the person receiving it. Why? Because I don't need you to love me back. I don't even need you to care. I'm going to tell you it's tremendous to see you today because that's what I really feel. I am going to become a different person with a source of love that is not just my consciousness trying to work up this kind of commitment, husbands, agape your wives, but I'm going, if I'm not loving her, it's because my heart isn't right with Jesus. If I'm not loving my kids the way I should, it's because my heart is not right with Jesus. And I need to get back in the Word. I need to receive all that God has for me. I need that unlimited pitcher of God's water pouring himself into my life. That's how you come out of the end of this with an understanding of the love of God and the power of what he wants to do in you and with you and through you. And we begin to understand it's as simple as a children's sermon. It's as complex as staying under the water where you need to be. Pray with me. Lord, there is a fullness that we need. This chapter reminds us of unbelievable inadequacies, unbelievable inconsistencies, out of the comfortable ability to talk out of both sides of our mouths. How to pretend we love, but not really. How shallow our love can be as long as everything's going our way. How we can say, I forgive you, but not really mean it. How we don't even begin to comprehend how deep and broad your love for us really is. I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, today to first of all help the love chapter help us to understand how you react, feel, and move in our lives with the kind of commitment you have toward us. Then I pray more than anything else, Lord, it would expose us to a point where we turn and seek you with our whole heart until your Spirit is filling us up into the overflow of love for one another. Build this church into that kind of group so that we can be your people here in this place. We pray this all in your name, Jesus. God's people say,